Thank you, choir. What a great word on this Mother's Day. I'm going to ask our moms as we read from Exodus 2 all across this room, would you please stand with me, all of our mothers, and we say to you, we give honor to you today, grateful for all of you ladies. Now, I got an email from one of my deacons in my first church out of seminary. I'd pastored a church while in college, but I finished seminary, went to First Baptist Church of Henrietta, Texas, and we were in that meeting. He sent me an email. He said, now, Pastor, don't mess up today. He said, you remember back there in 1991 what you did on Mother's Day. I said, I've been trying to forget all my life. You know how we used to do in the little country church, we'd honor the youngest mom and the oldest mom and all of those things. And so I did that in that first church. And after we did that, I said, I'm going to ask every now, amen, amen. I want every single mother to stand up. I want all of. And they just sat and looked at me. And scared them to death when I asked every single mother to stand up. So they said, Pastor, you're supposed to be married. And I said, oh, well, I didn't mean it that way. I don't always mean everything I say, do you? Well, the ladies that are standing up here, they mean everything they say. I am just telling you, bam. We're grateful to God for you today. Amen. And I'm going to preach about your role this morning. And I'm going to preach out of the Old Testament from the life of the mother of Moses, Jochebed. Boy, we learned some things from that lady. And so while you're standing, I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1, and read these 10 verses. And we say to you, thank you, well done. And after I read scripture, I want to pray again and ask God's favor and blessing on you this day. Exodus 2, verse number 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds on the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. Then she opened it. She saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I shall give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. This morning as we pray, if you are a child seated close to your mother, as I pray and you remain there, I'd just like you to reach up and find her hand or arm or elbow, and won't you just touch her while I pray. Hold on to her for a minute if she's there. Father, like many in this room, I'm unable to hold my mother's hand today. But from afar, I pray your favor on my sainted mother. And Father, for these that are standing all across this room today, I believe the most powerful class of people in the world that have influenced us, because every one of us have had a mom Lord, we realize not every one of those ladies did it right. But the great majority of them, oh, Father, they've infused us with life and wisdom and discipline and love and encouragement. And I pray for these ladies today that you'd just let heaven's dew rest on them. Meet every need they have, even with a heavy heart, today. And I pray, Lord, now out of Scripture, that you'd instruct all of us and help all of us build family in a Bible way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you love these ladies, just thank God for them today. Amen. And we're grateful to the Lord for all of these that stand and now sit among us. It was Abraham Lincoln who said these words, "No man is poor who has a godly mother. You're a rich man indeed if you have a mother that is godly." The flowers that are here today, I don't know who put these here. They're given anonymously in honor of my mother. And then a note for other mothers as well, but they named my mom. I don't know that that's ever occurred. Somebody did that. I noticed Friday when I picked up my worship guide. I'm grateful to God today for that. And for that gift that is there, because I'm a rich man indeed, like many of you, because of having a godly mother. Augustine, that great, great, great theologian, said it was his mother Monica's prayers that moved him where he need go. It was Samuel who had Hannah, what a power she was. It was Timothy that had Eunice, what a dynamite mover in his life. And Moses, we find in our text today, Moses had Jochebed. Now, we know her name not from Exodus 2, but from Exodus 6. And verse number 20, the Bible says that Amram married his father's sister Jochebed, and she bore him Aaron and Moses, and the length of Amram's life was 137 years. So we find her name, Jochebed, married to Amram. And then they had three children that are mentioned quickly. Miriam, the young lady, we think is probably about 15 when she fetched Moses out of the basket. And Aaron, we think, is 3-4 years old when all of this is occurring, when the baby Moses is born. The reason, of course, she put him out there in that mess of the Nile is that Pharaoh said, "We're going to kill the male children." And Jochebed had to deal with that. And so we find in this reading that after having the baby and hiding him, she floated him, and then she trusted him to the hand of God. There are simply three simple things I want you to see out of the life of Jochebed about mother and about family today. Number one, Jochebed faced distractions. Every mother faces distractions. Now, what had happened in Egypt, according to Exodus chapter 1 and verse number 8, that a Pharaoh had arisen who knew not Joseph, and he made it hard, and the Hebrews were multiplying in numbers, and they were growing stronger and greater and more numerous. And Pharaoh said, "We got to do something about this." And he told the midwives, "If it's a baby girl, let her live, but if it's a baby boy, you need to kill him while on the birthing stool." And the midwives, fearful of God, wouldn't do it. And when called on the carpet, they said, "The Hebrew women are so strong, they have the child before we get there." Pharaoh knew that he could stop the population explosion if he could kill the baby boys. Because you see, it still takes a male and a female to make one. That science today doesn't understand that. I'm just giving you a little biology lesson today. It still takes male and female to make a family. That's how you make 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. Well, he was trying to kill the populace. And Jochebed became pregnant. And when the baby was born, you can just see her waiting. Is it a boy or a girl? If it's a girl, she's fine. But if it's a boy, he's to be thrown into the Nile. She has the little boy, Moses. The Bible says he was a lovely child, a beautiful child. He was easy to look at. He was a gorgeous baby. Distractions. Egypt was polytheistic. There were gods everywhere. The number one was the god that they gave their children to when they would sometimes sacrifice their child to this pagan god by throwing the child of the crocodiles in the Nile River. There were distractions. Children were sacrificed. It was godlessness all around. I tell you, friend, if you have a baby in our culture today, you've got distractions to deal with. You bring a child into our world, the world will bombard that child saying there is no absolute truth. Nothing is true. Jochebed was going to raise Moses. Moses is going to give us the Ten Commandments. Handle them for God. You can't have the Ten Commandments. Not in our culture. How many of you in this room think it's a disgrace that we have taken down the Ten Commandments in public places? Well, amen. Yes, indeed it is. But it's so. That's one of the distractions. Abortion on every side. People that just don't want to have children. By the millions we're aborting. It's a distraction. Broken homes and blended families and gender confusion. I'm telling you, you bring a baby into this world now, there are all kind of distractions. Jochebed faced those distractions when this baby was born. How do you face distractions? Ladies, you know how you do it. You face those distractions on your knees, crying out to Holy God in prayer over your family. Am I telling you the truth? You call those children's names to the Lord. You pray over them. You are steadfast and you never give up, because while the world says there's many gods, you know there's just one. And while the world says there's no absolute truth, you know there is, and you carry it in a leather-bound book. You know there's absolute truth, and you're teaching it. You know that children are struggling all over with all kinds of issues, with bullying and how to eat and what to eat and gender identity and all of those things, in which bathroom you can go. Yeah, they're just distractions. But you know the truth, and you got to raise your child in truth. And the way you do that is you begin on your knees in prayer. I will never forget the day we brought Rachel home from the hospital. She's 33. She'd be in a second service, got two kids of her own now. I had not a clue. I mean, I didn't even have any help growing up. I'm an only child. I'd never even seen another child raised, correctly or incorrectly. My wife had had a C-section. It was hard. We came home after 3 or 4 days, and they laid that baby, and thank God that a mother-in-law came and helped us. And I will never forget it, Keith. I'll never forget it. I crawled up under that baby crib. And I buried my nose in the carpet under that crib with a sleeping baby over my head. And I said, God, I don't know how to do this. I'm grateful. That wasn't the last time Liz and I buried our nose in the carpet. There are distractions. But I'm telling you, the way to stay over those distractions is to stay focused on the throne of grace. Pray, 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 pray. She faced distractions. Secondly, we find Jochebed. Not only she faced distractions, but secondly, Jochebed displayed determination. Yes, she did. She was determined, and she displayed this persistent determination. In Acts chapter 7 and verse number 20, we find that the Bible says at that time that Moses was born, and he was lovely in the sight of God, and he was nurtured 3 months in his father's home, according to that sermon that we looked at a few weeks ago out of the 7th of Acts. She was determined. What did Jochebed do? She hid him. She hid the baby. They thought they were going to kill the baby. So she hid the child. She sheltered Moses as long as possible. And then she made a little basket and released him. When we have children, we shelter them as long as we can. We hold them up close. Some of them shelter by homeschooling. Some shelter by private school. Some shelter by public school. But they go. But now, friend, the day comes. Whatever you've done with your... The day comes. When you release them. And friend, when you release them, you better have displayed determination in your own faith walk so they will catch it from you. I was the taxi driver. I would have moved licensing for driving to 13 if I could have voted it in. Not because I thought they were ready, but because I was ready to quit. I drove my kids to school. That was my job. I will never forget. Sharon Parrish, Corn Parrish is usually up there on the screen, but she's away for Mother's Day. Her little girl, my little girl, were like twins. I remember the day that I drove to Tate High School on the first day of ninth grade, and I pulled up in the line, and a boy in front of us got out of the back seat of the car. He's 6'6" if he's an inch. I looked in the rearview mirror at those girls. Their eyes were this big. They're about to get out and go in this school. Let me tell you, friend, Elizabeth Ann Bennett Traylor had put determination into the life of my children. She displayed this tender determination. Stand by them, hide them and help them as long as you, but after a while you got to release them to the world. Am I telling the truth? After a while you let them go. And then they try to come back and you said, oh, I already let you go. Amen. It's one of the hardest days in the world. Have you put enough determination for them to stand by themselves? When they get off over there to that school where they don't teach Jesus, or that job where some old godless man or woman is running the show, have you put enough grit in their soul so that when you release them and float them in the Nile of the culture, they'll stand the test? She did it. Jochebed displayed this determination. But thirdly, Jochebed also, not only did she display a determination, but she instilled a dedication. Now get the picture. She put him in a basket, and Pharaoh's daughter that didn't know Joseph came down and saw the baby, or saw the basket and heard the baby crying. You know the story. And Moses means she to be drawn of water. And they came over and she looked in and said, it's a Hebrew child. You could tell the difference by looking at an Egyptian and a Hebrew. So politically incorrect. But she said, it's a Hebrew child. Miriam was watching in the bulrushes, and she comes walking out, ma'am, would you want me to get a Hebrew lady to take care of the child? She said, it'd be great. And so she ran and got Jochebed. And Jochebed nursed the baby and then took care of the child. How long? We're not certain. Maybe till he was weaned and that was all, but maybe longer. But I'm telling you, you can't find it here. But I cannot help but believe when Pharaoh's daughter needed a babysitter, she knew there was something connected to this Hebrew woman. And so Jochebed has time with Moses. And she is instilling this godly dedication. She is living out and putting in him Proverbs 6, verses 20 and 21. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart and tie them around your neck. What your mom and daddy tells you, that you ought to have them in your heart and around you. They ought to be close to you. Don't forget, observe, and remember. And here is Jochebed putting that dedication. What'd she teach Moses? I think she taught him positive things. Kids need to hear positive words out of mother. Amen? You need to be telling them who God is. When they lie down and when they rise up, when they walk out and come, you tell them who God is. That's what those grand Old Testament stories are about. You tell them who God is. High and lifted up. You keep putting God in the picture. You tell them who God is, and secondly, you tell them who they are. Tell them who they are. Tell them they're loved. Tell them they're special made by God. Use positive words. Tell them who God is. Tell them who they are. Let them see your example of failure. Because they're going to fail, so let them know. There are times that we blow it. Lose our cool. Reminded of the man that couldn't make any money as a farmer. He's about to starve to death and he had to take care of his family. He decided the only way to take care of his family is to rob a bank. And so he got him a note and he didn't know what he's doing, but he wrote the note and got a gun and a bag. And on that note he wrote is he was going to slide it to the teller. Don't mess with me, this is a stick up. And he went in there, and when he got there he handed her the gun. Pointed the bag at her. And said, don't stick with me, this is a mess up. We've all done it, hadn't we? You ever mess up? It's all right. You kids need to see. They don't need to know you're perfect. They need to know you're real. And that when you mess up, you fess up. And when confession comes through you, let them see your example. Give them positive words. Now, friend, there's a difference in encouragement and praise. I see people telling kids all the time. I've spoken to this several times, but don't tell your kids they can be anything they want to. They cannot be anything they want to. Say, well, mine can't. Well, no, they can't. I want to play in the NBA, but I got short man's disease. I'm telling you, that ain't happening. Okay? I've told you before, I got the heart of a champion just in the body of a wimp. I mean, that's my problem. Your kids can't be anything they want to. You tell them to strive and be dead. Tell them they did well. Put praise on when you say, but now be careful. You don't just praise what they do. Also encourage what they are. When you see persistence, brag on it. If they get all A's, amen, that's good. But I'm telling you, if they're trying hard and they come in with B's and C's, brag on them. Let me tell you, friends, I was in a half of the class, made the top half possible, and somebody's got to brag on you, all right? Amen. I heard a president of a university say one time to love on your A students, they'll come back and teach for you. Love on your B students, because they'll come back and teach for you. Love on your C students, because they'll build you a science building. Amen. I'm just telling you that you need to encourage them. Find out how they're fearfully and wonderfully made and encourage that. That's what Jochebed did. She instilled dedication. And so the day came when Moses went off down to Egypt. He is in the Nile River Country Club. He had a Mercedes chariot. He had everything he wanted that money could give. And the Bible said he was educated with the best education in Egypt. But according to Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, the day came when they wanted to put the crown on his head. And Moses said, no. Why? Jochebed had been whispering in his ear. There's only one God, and Jehovah is his name. You are not it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And don't forget to love your neighbor like yourself. Pharaoh was God, and Moses knew he was not that. And he went out with a common man. Wound up 40 years on the backside of nowhere. Heard a voice in a bush. You'd put a man in an insane asylum for that today. Moses. Moses. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. How do you know that's God? I'm telling you, Jochebed whispered in his ear. When he got up on that mountain and God took his finger and wrote in rock. Ten Commandments. Let me ask again. How many of you think it's an abomination that we've taken the Ten Commandments out of school? Anybody? How many of you think it's an abomination that we've taken the Ten Commandments down in the hallways of government? How many of you got them posted in your house? Don't curse the government if you won't post them on your walls of your own home. I've had them on my wall since I had walls. You need to put them, find you one. They've had me a picture of Ten Commandments. Yeah, find you something and put them up there. Number two, not only, you can go to places like Hobby Lobby and find that. That's a great Christian man running that place. As a matter of fact, if you're the next time you're in Washington, D.C., they're opening it in just a few days. They got a brand new museum coming up, and the owner of Hobby Lobby is the one putting it in. It's the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. Amen. It is a marvelous place given to the Scriptures, three stories of it. All kind of artifacts. Talked to that man just the other day, Mr. Green, why are you doing that? He said, we just felt like if all places right there in the crown jewel of the United States, we ought to lift up the very word of the living God. Now, friend, let me tell you, they've made millions of dollars by selling squirrels on birdhouses. Amen. And they've honored God with it. And almost lost it all in a lawsuit when they took a stand. You can go to the Hobby Lobby and find the Ten Commandments, or find them somewhere else. Or get you an artist to calligraphy that. We found one somewhere. We've had it for years. I looked at ours last. This, when you come in the door of my house, it's immediately left. Right there, first thing you see. You walk into the kitchen, you'll find that. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Not only should you post them, you ought to memorize them. Matter of fact, we ought to just have a Sunday where everybody has to come down to the microphone and name them 1 through 10. I don't mean just name them, I mean get them in order. Hey, there's 10 of them. You know the starting lineup for the Florida State Seminoles. You ought to know the starting lineup for the Lord God. Or the Gators or the Tide or LSU, anybody else you want to throw in there, all right? Amen. Be a great place to begin, Mama, instilling that dedication. Just teach your children those 10 commandments. Have a little test. Have a little fun. Write those down. The interesting thing out of this text, that's the introduction to my sermon. Sermon short. In verse number 9, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away, nurse him for me, and I shall give you your wages." She paid Jochebed to nurse the child. My question this morning is, how does a mother get paid? How does a mother get paid? Let me tell you how a mother gets paid. When they roll her in that delivery room and she hears a cry and they swaddle that child and lay that baby on her chest, she gets her first check. She gets paid. When she sees little fat fingers at 3 or 4 years old for the first time at a meal, put those hands together and say, "In Jesus' name, thank you for those that were baptized today." She gets wages. Well, when mother's sitting in the pew and the pastor's standing down at the front, and that little 11-year-old boy, like William, steps out and walks down to the front, and mother stands there and sees him go to make his profession of faith. Wages. Wages. When mother sees her child walk into those baptismal waters saying, "I believe that Christ died for me," wages. Wages. It's a deposit. When mother sees that child living for Christ in a crooked culture, standing alone if need be and influencing others, wages. Wages. When mother sees that young adult outgrow the need for public attention, and he or she gets her affirmation and all she needs from the presence of Christ, wages. When that mother sees that child walk down the aisle of this church and take the hand of a man or a woman and say, "I do," and mean it, and keep yourself pure sexually before you walk, wages. Wages. And when they watch that young couple come to church and drop their tithe in the offering plate like they've been teaching them for wages. When Mother's Day rolls around and the phone rings and mother picks it up and hears a child say, "Mama, I love you," wages. That card comes in the mail. "I did it for the first time. For years I've been sending flowers and a card. Not this year. I sent a card and a Cracker Barrel card. Wages. I hit the gold mine. She said, we got this new preacher, and sometimes on Sunday night, like on Mother's Day, we don't have church. I said, well, we're not having church on Mother's Day. It's family time. She said, we're not doing that either. She said, I don't know if I'm for or against it, but since they're not meeting, I'm taking your daddy to dinner on your card. Wages. Wages. And when they call you and say, Mama, we're pregnant. Your first grandchild is going to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Wages. Wages. And one day, when you walk by and you kiss her in that box, she's in the presence of her Jesus, and she knows you're living for Christ, and you give an honor to whom honor's due. Wages. Wages. Money can't buy it. Are you making the deposit? Wages. Anybody can pay this bill, and we all owe it. Wages. Everyone in this room, everybody needs three homes. It's in this room. Everybody needs an earthly home. You say, well, Pastor, I'm single, live with my... That's a home. These friends are around you. Everybody needs an earthly home. You need a place you call home, but it's not just a place, it's the folks. It's what you build. Everybody needs that. Everybody needs a church home. Amen. Everybody needs a church home. If you live here, you think you ought to call Olive your church home. I talked to a family yesterday, moved here from up north, and they said, we're going to make Olive our home. I talked to a lady who moved here from the Midwest on Thursday night. She said, I've been coming. I need to make church home. Everybody needs an earthly home. They need a church home. Thirdly, I'm telling you, everybody needs an eternal home. And just because you're a mother doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you love your mother doesn't mean you go to heaven. You must call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, mansions, residences, homes. But friend, you got to have preparation to go there. How do you get prepared? You get prepared by calling on the name of the Lord. You pray a prayer like this. You say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, come into my heart and forgive me. Lord, make me a Christian. Lord, I ask you today to save me. You pray, and after you ask him to save you, you say, Lord, I'll never be ashamed of you, and I'll be baptized like those did today. Lord, I'll do. You call on his name, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be, what's the Bible say, church? Saved. They'll be saved. 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 Jochebed. She's not a big player. You don't even find her name in this narrative. You got to look somewhere else to find out who she is. But when that boy went up on the mountain, when he saw the bush, wages. What Pharaoh's daughter paid was nothing compared to the obedience and the faithfulness of the one drawn out of water. Now, I know in the life of the church, there are five Mountain Peak Sundays. There's Easter, there's Christmas, number three is Mother's Day. It's when people come. More guilty boys come to church today than any other day. Amen. And a few girls are thrown in there. On this day, you don't do it. You don't do it to make her smile and then go off and be a hypocrite. But on this day, you should make sure you're giving wages by being right.